The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
The Bible is an amazing book. Such great literature. So many different genres like history, prophecy, narrative, poetry, and even with so many different human authors, such unity. We view that unity in some part through different threads that are just woven all throughout. One of those threads is a messianic thread. And today, on Grace in Focus, we're beginning a short series on the Messianic thread. Please stay tuned as we introduce that thread today. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Please come to our website and find out more about us. It is faithalone.org. While you're there, be sure to subscribe to our blogs. They're released daily, five times a week. Similar content to this radio broadcast. You will enjoy and benefit greatly. That's faithalone.org. Now to begin the series, here are Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling.
Well, I'm here with Philippe Sterling. How you doing, Philippe?
Hi, Bob. It's good to be with you again.
Bonjour, as you say.
Bonjour, mon ami.
Mon ami. What does that mean? My friend.
My friend.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, we're in the same church together, Vista Ridge Bible Fellowship in Louisville, Texas. If you happen to be visiting the area, stop on by. But I recently heard you give a series on something called the Messianic Thread. And so I thought we would have a series of shows talking about the Messianic Thread in the Scriptures, particularly right in the Old Testament.
Yes, of course. To use a figure of a thread is a long, thin fiber strand that's used in sewing, in weaving. And so we're using it in a figurative way here as a thread that can be a theme that runs throughout a piece of writing. And of course, what we have is the Bible. So the Messianic thread is one of the major themes of the Old Testament.
Right.
And it will begin, you know, just right in the Garden of Eden.
Okay, right. Now, before we get to Eden, let's talk about this word Messiah. Messianic is from the word Messiah in Hebrew. I don't know if I pronounce it, but it's Mashiach.
Yes.
Kind of with a
HaMashiach.
HaMashiach.
But I'm not good on pronunciation of Hebrew, but it's close.
The Messiah. Well, you were an Old Testament major at Dallas Seminary, right?
Yes. Many years ago.
I mean, I graded for Old Testament for 5 years, and I liked Old Testament, but I was a New Testament guy. But anyway, the term the Messiah, what does it mean? What does HaMashiach mean? Yeah.
It is the anointed one, and the first use of it is really by Hannah in the book of Samuel.
Oh, okay. Because Hannah was barren, but God favors her, and she has Samuel, and then other children after that. But she gives Samuel, when he's old enough, she gives Samuel to Eli.
To serve in the temple.
She even made him a small little vestment.
She will visit every year to give him a linen ephod, just in the likeness of that which the priests and the Levites, will wear. But in the Song of Hannah, and by the way, it's one that introduces a lot of theme that Mary herself will use in the Magnificat.
Oh, right.
So as part of Hannah's prayer, prayer of praise and everything, it ends up being a prophetic song. And she ends it by saying, he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed.
His anointed is the Messiah?
Yeah. So we would say this. So the context, there's not a king yet. That won't be until her son Samuel, of course, anoints Saul, as the first king, and then later on anoints David. But here in her song, she says, Yahweh will give strength to his king and also will exalt the horn of his exalted. So it does point to David, but to the greater son of David, ultimately, Jesus.
So all of the kings of Israel, and I'm thinking here of the southern kingdom once they split, but all of those kings were anointed, right?
Yes.
In a sense, they were all messiahs.
Yes.
But they weren't the Messiah. Yes. Right. They weren't HaMashiach.
Right.
But they were messiahs. They were kings, but they weren't the king. They weren't the King of Kings.
Right. Even David understood that.
Like Psalm 110, the Lord said to
my Lord.
You know, yeah.
And in the Davidic covenant, you know, where Yahweh sent the word.
And
where's the prophet.
Where is that?
The Davidic covenant would be in 2 Samuel chapter 7.
Yeah, okay.
That we find it there. And of course, part of it is that one of his sons, Solomon, will be on the throne, but yet his throne will be an everlasting throne, pointing to someone even beyond Solomon that will reign forever, you know, on his throne.
Now, by the way, not only were all the kings of Israel anointed, so in a sense they were all messiahs, lowercase m, yeah. And they were all kings, but doesn't 2 Samuel 7 say, your son will be my son? And it seems like all of the kings of Judea were sons of God.
Yes.
You are my son, today I have begotten thee, a royal enthronement psalm.
Well, psalm 2. Yes.
But wasn't that said at the enthronement of all the Judean kings?
Yes. The Davidic kings, that line,
right.
You know, our throne name is Son of God.
Because
one of their throne names.
Because the Son of God, a Son of God, not before right. the Son of God, was a representative of God on earth,
yeah,
right?
They were the theocratic representative of God.
And what does theocratic mean?
Okay. Subject to God, we might say. They represented him, they represented God, and they were subject.
But a nation that's theocratic has the rule of God, more or less.
Right.
So some nations today, some of the Muslim countries claim to be theocratic.
Yes, they're saying that they rule, in their case, they will say Allah.
Right.
But Israel was distinctly a theocratic, you know, rule, the rule of God through their representatives such as kings.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes, like faith alone for eternal salvation, and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
But Israel was distinctly a theocratic, you know, rule, the rule of God through their representatives such as kings.
Okay, so this messianic thread is going to be a theme or a line that runs all the way through the Old Testament,
yes,
from Genesis to Malachi, or the Italian prophet Malachi. And yeah, it runs all the way through there, and it's going to be telling us about God's anointed one, his king, and also ultimately it's looking ahead to the incarnation, to his death on the cross, yeah, to his resurrection, to his second coming, and to his rule and reign forever. All of that is part of the Old Testament messianic thread.
Oh, absolutely. So from Genesis on, the promise that is made in Genesis 3:15,
okay,
about the seed of the woman.
So Genesis 3:15 is called the proto-evangelium, the first gospel.
Yes.
And that runs all the way through. Is there a reference in Malachi to the Messiah?
Yes. The clear one would be Malachi 3:1. And that sets the stage for the New Testament and for the coming of Christ. In Malachi 3:1, he says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me."
So the messenger is John the Baptist.
Yes, and he will prepare the way before me. That's Yahweh.
That's Messiah.
That's Yahweh speaking. And then it says, "And the Lord Adonai, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says Yahweh of armies."
Uh-huh.
So you have, again, Yahweh speaking, but then there's one that's coming and pointing to the incarnation, and that he will be preceded by a messenger, you know, who will prepare his way. And that's the last direct prophecy.
That's what I was going to ask
that
you.
We have.
Now, when was Malachi written?
Malachi, probably the best date, I think, is 430 B.C.
And was he the last of the minor book in the Old Testament?
Right. This will be the last book.
The Tanakh, prophet, as they say in the Hebrew scriptures.
Yes. And again, Nehemiah would have come, you know, in 444 B.C. Ezra, you know, had come probably sometime in the 450s, too. And then, but the time of Malachi's prophecy seemed to have been later than that, around 430.
So around 430. And then after that, they call it the 400 silent years or the intertestamental period.
Yeah, the inter-Advent period.
Inter-Advent. So it's not...
Intertestamental. Intertestamental, not inter-Advent.
Yeah. So this thread that runs all the way through, how would you define then the pulling it all together, the messianic thread? What is it?
Okay. We're going to see as we see what Jesus, in essence, has to say about it. And you remember the two men that were walking, you know, from Jerusalem to Emmaus.
Right.
And then, the resurrected Jesus.
I love that. I love that. But didn't our heart burn within us, right? As he was opening the scriptures?
Yeah, exactly. And he explained to them, you know, from the Psalms and the prophets, you know, everything that was written concerning the Christ.
So he was explaining the messianic thread to them.
Right. And then after, you know, he met with them, they recognized him, he disappeared, and they went back to report, of course, to the apostles and everything that had about this encounter, you know, that they had. And Jesus then appears to them all. And then it says once again, you know, in Luke that he... beginning with the Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, you know, he talked with them about all that was written concerning him.
I remember I'm teaching a second year Greek class and we're going through Galatians and I asked them to memorize Luke 24:45. Yeah. And he opened their understanding or their minds, their eyes, that they might comprehend the things written in the scriptures.
Yes.
And it's interesting that was a messianic thread opening of their minds, right? That they'd grasp this messianic thread. And Zane Hodges made much of that verse because he said, basically, whenever we understand scripture, it's because God has opened our understanding so that we shouldn't just mechanically study the scriptures, but we should prayerfully study the scriptures.
Yes. Ask for God to grant us understanding for growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ.
Amen.
But it's a spiritual matter.
Amen.
In fellowship with the Lord.
Well, we're out of time for today, but thanks so much, Philippe, and we're going to continue this messianic thread. And in the meantime, let's all
keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, continuing the messianic thread, we are looking at it in Luke and in 1 Peter. Join us again. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.